May the Lord God be mindful of us as we come before him now to worship him, albeit in our own homes. We will commence this service with hymn 1142. Hymn 1142. I'll just mention it had been hoped that the organ could have been played from here, enabling those listening to sing the hymns, but this has not proved to be possible as the microphone does not sufficiently pick up the sound of a musical instrument, only the sound of his spoken voice. So I shall read hymn 1142. Oh, may the power which melts the rock be felt by all assembled here in our homes, or else our service will but mock the God whom we profess to fear. Lord, while thy judgment shake the land, thy people's eyes are fixed on thee, we own thy just uplifted hand, which thousands cannot, will not see. How long hast thou bestowed thy care on this indulged, ungrateful spot, while other nations far and near have envied and admired our lot? Here peace and liberty have dwelt, the glorious gospel brightly shone, and oft our enemies have felt that God has made our cause his own. But ah, both heaven and earth have heard a vile requital of his love. We, whom like children he has reared, rebels against his goodness prove. His grace despised, his power defied, and legions of the blackest crimes, profaneness, riot, lust, and pride, are signs that mark the present times. The Lord displeased has raised his rod. Ah, where are now the faithful few who tremble for the ark of God and know what Israel ought to do? Lord, hear thy people everywhere who meet to mourn, confess, and pray. The nation and thy churches spare, and let thy wrath be turned away. We now read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Job, chapter 37. The book of Job, reading chapter 37. The book of Job, reading chapter 37. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength, He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh a whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straitened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them, and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind? Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Amen. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Lord God, do solemnize our hearts and our minds, and fit us now to approach unto thee, as we would come before thee and bow our heads before thee in this solemn, sacred attitude of prayer. Oh, that there is a throne of grace, that there is a way made for poor sinners such as we to approach before thy holy majesty. Oh, to behold the throne of grace, the promise draws us near, there Jesus with a smiling face waits to answer prayer. For thou art the true God, the living God, the eternal God, the sovereign God, God who is over all and above all. The prayer hearing and prayer answering God. O, who is a God like unto thee, so merciful, so gracious, so good, so kind. And O Lord, that we might be found amongst thy people. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And, O Lord, do grant to us each those sacred evidences being found amongst thy people. Thy people worship thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, as we gather on this returning Lord's Day morning, and we gather at this time, although in our own homes, we gather to worship thee. And, O Lord, lift us above all the familiar surroundings of our homes. And, O Lord, who grant us thy gracious presence, thy gracious help. And, O Lord, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, thy people hear thy voice. O grant us that grace to hear thy voice even this day. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hearing. O grant us, Lord, that hearing of faith. O Lord, speak to us. And speak to us through thy word. We do thank thee for thy word. The sacred scriptures able to make us wise unto salvation by faith in Christ Jesus, but all to read with profit and faith and understanding. As it was said to the eunuch of old, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, he replied, unless some man guide me? And we read of Philip, how he preached unto him Jesus. And the Holy Spirit took the things of Jesus and applied them with divine power into the heart of that eunuch. Oh, this same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, the same blessed Spirit, take of thine, show it unto us, prepare our hearts to receive thy word, that in receiving thy word, we may hear thy voice. O Lord, to be found amongst thy people, thy sheep, who hear thy voice. O Lord, thy people, how they receive a gospel. O the blessed gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we may each hear the gospel this day, and again to hear to profit and to receive, to be benefited in our souls. O Lord, that we may understand these things and be truly blessed through the preaching of the gospel. And we think of that time that we see in type how Moses was instructed to make that brazen serpent, to lift it high upon that pole, that all might see. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord, by this we understand the all men to be of thy chosen people, both Jew and Gentile. Oh, another evidence of being a child of God, to be drawn unto thyself. Oh, might we know something of it now. Oh, Lord, draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, draw us unto thy word. Draw us unto thy feet. Draw us unto the cross of Christ. Draw us unto that fountain open to sin and uncleanness. Oh, draw us to the precious blood of Jesus. Draw us under the shadow of thy wings. Draw us into thy wounded side. Oh, Lord Jesus, ever draw us and oh, how a hymn writer penned, what think ye of Christ is the test? Lord, if we would be drawn, oh, might it be our mercy, having that desire to be drawn to thee, that we might be found in that word. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, drawn to thy word of truth, drawn to the precious gospel, drawn in that felt need of Christ, or that salvation, the salvation for our never-dying souls. Lord, again, thy people, being convicted of sin, know something of the plague of their own hearts and what it is to be a sinner. Oh, to confess our sins unto thee, to acknowledge our iniquities, our transgressions, our shortcomings, our failings. Lord, how we prove that our sins abound. Oh, our sins abound. Sins of deed in what we have done. Sins of word in what we have said. Oh, sins of thought. The imaginations of our minds being only evil continually. Our hearts being deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. For out of a heart proceed evil thoughts. And not only sins of commission, but sins of omission. All sins against light and knowledge. Sins immense as is the sin. Hide me, O Gethsemane, to be found at that place, that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Oh, we bless thee, dear Lord, for thy superabounding grace. Oh, to know it, grace to cover all of our sins. Grant us each that saving knowledge of Christ. We believe all of thy people desire that saving knowledge of Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, how real religion might be spoken of in but two words, Jesus only. Our only hope, our only plea, our only refuge, our only saviour, the only way, the truth and life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, who is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Or to be found looking unto Jesus. And we think of those three favored disciples upon the Mount of Transfiguration and how they looked up and saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, that we might be blessed with like precious faith to look up, or to look away, or to look away from all creature merit, or to look away from all our works and all our doings, and to look away from every arm of flesh. Oh, to look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Bless us, O Lord, with that real religion, and mercifully save us from all that is false, from that which lacks the Holy Ghost. Oh, may we not be found of those who have a name to live and yet are dead, those who have a form of godliness, that deny the power, knowing nothing of grace in the heart, likened to those foolish virgins satisfied with a lamp of profession, but denying the power thereof. O, leave not my soul destitute of thy grace, of thy spirit. Lord, another evidence of being a child of God. We love him. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? O, try my heart and soul, and tear each hateful idol down that dares to rival thee. O Lord, many may feel that love is so weak, and faint and scarce. Or may there be something in our hearts to see such an attraction in the Lord Jesus, that we love him in that need of him. Or we love him for whom he is. We love him as a Saviour, or to know him as our Saviour. We love him as the Redeemer, or to know him as our Redeemer. We love him as a way of life, or to be found in that way of life. Give me Christ, or else I die. But we love him because he first loved us. Oh, do come and shed abroad thy love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, remember us each. Remember each one listening in at this time. And Lord, these events are to take place upon the earth and in our nation, preventing us from gathering together in thine earthly courts. Lord, we would be there if we could. Lord, thou knowest the distress and disappointment of thy people, being unable to meet together in thy name. And O Lord, we are unable to meet together in our chapels, yet we would meet together now. And we would meet together in thy name. Lord, who rule and overrule. And we do pray, Lord, for thy fell presence wherever we may be. And we think of some who may be on their own, sitting on their own. And there may be others, Lord, with their families around them. But our Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found. And every place is hallowed ground, for thou within no walls confined inhabitest the humble mind. Such ever bring thee when they come, and going take thee when they go. So, Lord, wherever we may be found, we pray for thy foul presence. Lord, do bless the means. O Lord, we would fear and tremble to do anything that would grieve thy Holy Spirit, that would cause thy frown, the hiding of thy flesh. Oh, but dear Lord, remember us at this time and be very, very merciful. We would be thankful, Lord, for the means enabling us to hold a service in this way, and may it prove to be of thee and to the falling out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. O Lord, remember us at this time concerning this virus that has spread now throughout the world and in our nation, greatly affecting us in our lives. O Lord, we would especially remember those who have been particularly greatly affected. Any who have been infected with this virus, Lord, remember them and spare them and preserve them and grant restoring, recovering, sanctifying mercies. Remember those who are very, very frightened concerning this virus, either of catching it or spreading it. There is that great fear and trepidation. Lord, you remember some. Lord, we pray for those who must go forth to work. We think of the nurses and doctors and the like, and dealing with those who have been infected and those who are poorly. Lord, remember them and grant that special help and protection. We think also of others whose lives have been greatly affected in their employment. Lord, what they can do and what they cannot do. And we would pray especially for those prevented from working. And Lord, there may be that where they cannot earn the same wages, being prevented from working. And there is that great fear of paying the bills, the things, Lord, necessary. Oh, do mercifully appear and provide for such. Lord, in whatever way any have been affected, we think of the children going to school, the young people at college or university, in their studies and the examinations which now have been cancelled. Lord, that great effect, we sanctify these things, O Lord, we pray. We would also especially remember our dear friends who had hoped to be joined together in holy matrimony next month. Oh Lord, now there is that uncertainty concerning the date and whether such gatherings will be permitted. Lord, it's all in thy hands. Oh, do remember our dear friends at this time. Do help them. Help them to look to thee. Help them to trust in thee. Help them to wait upon them. Oh Lord, if it would please thee yet to enable them to be joined together in holy matrimony in thy time, according to thy will. And Lord, we pray for any others who have been so affected by this virus. Oh Lord, do remember them. Do rule and overrule. Lord, we bring before thee our nation. Oh, how many, many times has it been said and prayed, our nation, ripe for judgment, the sins, the iniquities of wickedness, or the murder of the unborn. And oh, of late there has been that of advancing the murder of the old age and infirm and those of diseases. Then, Lord, the solemn desecration of thy day. All the ways that the sodomites have been encouraged and forced upon education and such things, Lord, such wickedness, such abominations, such evils greatly affecting our land. Things which have been encouraged and promoted, but an abomination in thy sight. Oh Lord, and lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Oh Lord, what decadence, what wickedness, what evils have abounded in our land, false religions. And now the Lord displays the phrase is wrought, not only upon our own nation, but upon many nations of the earth. Oh Lord, hear the cries of thy people, those who tremble before thee, those who sigh and cry of the abominations done in our land. O Lord, those who beg of thee mercy, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. Lord, we have fought at David. At that time he numbered the people. And how the thought just comes, the sin of numbering the people. Or maybe be kept, Lord, from attempting to number a people in various ways. And oh, how David must suffer. Oh, David was in a great strait and would fall into the hands of God. And that pestilence, that plague was sent. And thousands upon thousands died. Oh, how David trembled when he saw the angel with the sword outstretched over Jerusalem. And there at the threshing floor of Araunah, he would offer up that offering of sacrifice, setting forth the Lord Jesus. And there the plague was stayed. And there we understand the temple was built, setting forth the Lord Jesus. Oh, for Jesus' sake, stay the plague. Lord, have mercy. May there be of us far shall it go, but no further. Lord, thou art able. Nothing is too hard for thee, nothing impossible. Oh, hear the cries of thy people. And yet, Lord, we would be thankful for all thy goodness and kindness. We would be thankful, Lord, for so many blessings yet bestowed upon us. Lord, who accept of our humble thanks. May we be helped to acknowledge thee in all of our ways. And Lord, in the unknown way, and there really is that of an unknown way now, the future we do not know, but all to know him who knows the future, who is the future, for he himself knew what he would do. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. So help us to look to thee, to trust in thee, to wait upon thee, to commit all unto thee, to be still and know that thou art God. God in heaven above, in control, above all and over all. Now, Lord, who hear our poor prayer and hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, as we would ask all, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. The second hymn is 957. Hymn 957. Hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? He holds all nature in his hand. That gracious hand on which I live, does life and time and death command, and has immortal joys to give. 'Tis he supports this fainting frame, on him alone my hopes recline. The wondrous glories of his name, how wide they spread, how bright they shine. Infinite wisdom, boundless power, unchanging faithfulness and love. Here let me trust while I adore, nor from my refuge e'er remove. My God, if thou art mine indeed, then I have all my heart can crave, a present help in times of need, still kind to hear and strong to save. Forgive my doubts, O gracious Lord, and ease the sorrows of my breast. Speak to my heart the healing word that thou art mine and I am blessed. Now, as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct our prayerful attention this morning to the book of Job, chapter 37, and I feel led to the 13th verse, verse 13. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. The book of Job, chapter 37 and verse 13. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Now, I think one thing in particular stands out from our text and the context surrounding it is the sovereignty of God. And may each one of us believe in the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign is a truth. That God is in control is a truth. That God is upon the throne is a truth. that God doeth whatsoever he pleaseth is a truth. But let us also remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And when we think of God, let us think of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He, Almighty God, He, Eternal God, He, this Sovereign God. Yes, He causeth it to come. Now, as the Lord may be pleased to help, I just first want to speak concerning this virus as it is affecting each and every one of us directly or indirectly, maybe having a great effect upon some, a lesser effect upon others. But the very fact that we are not met together in Swayze Chapel this morning proves that it's affecting all of us. He causeth it to come because God is sovereign. Nothing can happen without God's leave. Nothing can take place without the permission of God. And let us remember here in the book of Job, if we were to read the opening chapters, very deep and mysterious, but there we read of Satan obtaining leave of God, permission from God, to cause absolute havoc and misery and grief in the life of Job. That Job lost all of his children. He lost all of his substance. If you will, his business collapsed. Everything around him, as it were, fell down. And then he lost his health. Now, Job lost much. We should never lose sight of that. He suffered much. Again, you think when the three friends came to visit him, to comfort him, they meant well. They meant good. But when they saw him, they could barely even recognize him. And they sat with him a whole week. And not one of them spoke one word because they saw that his grief was so great. You can hardly imagine it. Perhaps sometimes we go to visit loved ones, either in hospital or poorly in bed, or perhaps not only affliction, but in times of sadness and sorrow, disappointment, and we hardly know what to say. We would say something, we fear of saying the wrong thing, but eventually something is said. But these three friends of Job, because his grief was so great, did not speak for one whole week. Now that Job suffered much, all that he did suffer. It was a younger man, Elihu, who listened to the three friends coming, who speaks these very words. And you see, Elihu, he perceived the hand of God. Very deep, very mysterious. But then, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we believe that God is sovereign, we believe that God is in control, and not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. He causeth it to come. So it is with this virus. And yes, thousands are dying. Yes, thousands are suffering. It is causing such commotions throughout the world. Things have greatly changed in our lives and our leaders. When we think of our leaders, I do not think of the general government. I think of the leaders in science and medicine and the like. Really, they know not what to do. It has come so quickly, so really unexpectedly. But he causeth it to come. Now, when we first heard of it, it was out in a province in China. Perhaps many of us have never heard of that province before. and it didn't affect us at all. We felt sorry, perhaps, for those who were suffering there. There was that fear that it might spread, and that it might spread far and wide. And then the news was coming through that it was spreading throughout that province in China. And then it began to spread gradually into other areas of China. And then it began to spread into different nations of the earth. And we heard of these things. And then eventually it came to Britain. And eventually it started spreading, particularly in London, but in other places also. And now truly it has come. And it has come all around. He causeth it to come. The Lord has permitted it. God is in control. Oh, let this be our comfort. Let this be our encouragement. Let this be our belief. Oh, may we never lose sight of this. I rather feel that like Peter walking on the water, if we were to lose sight of God in control, then we would begin to sink. Or begin to sink in despair of these calamities, of these great things which have come upon us. But oh, when that eye of faith is unable to view God supreme upon the throne in absolute control, that nothing takes him unawares, that nothing happens out of his control, out of his power, cannot be. He causeth it to come. Now, whatever the natural reason, however this virus first came, we've heard the various reports, and really we do not know, but God knows and God has permitted it. This word, he causeth it, it can be spoken of in that direct sense or in an indirect sense wherein God has permitted these things to happen, these things to come to pass. How many times in scripture do we read, and it came to pass? And it came to pass. I think it was pointed out to me yesterday concerning David. At that time, he proudly numbered the people. And the chapter, I believe, in Kings or Chronicles begins, and it came to pass that Satan provoked David to number the people. Now, Satan is a reality. Satan is extremely powerful, cunning, strong. He is a tempter, but he is under God. Though Satan is powerful, God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Though Satan has caused much havoc and sorrow and grief throughout the world, yet God is in control. I think one of the most remarkable times is when such persecution was raised in Jerusalem against the disciples, the early Christians of the Lord Jesus, and how they were forced to be scattered abroad. Throughout all the regions round about, not being safe anymore to live in Jerusalem. Well, as they scattered, they took the gospel with them, and they preached the gospel wherever they went. And so it might be said, how the Lord ruled and overruled, and there was that falling out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. He causeth it to come. And we do not know, even with the spread of this virus, how the Lord may use it. Because it is so important here in this verse to understand there is a reason, there is a cause. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or how we need that, or for his land, by which primarily I understand the inhabitants of his land, not for the land, but his land. The land of Zion, the inhabitants, the people of God, or for mercy, or for mercy. But the point is, there is a cause, there is a reason. God is in control. These things do not happen, as it were, haphazard. out of control for no particular reason, but he causeth it to come. Oh, there is a reason. And truly, personally, collectively, in Zion, the churches, as well as in our nation, for correction. You notice in the margin, a rod of discipline, a rod to chasten. And the chastening really is the same as the correcting, where the Lord will discipline, whether it be an individual or his people or a nation, then it will be that correction. And where there is that correction, there is that discipline. And one must learn what is evil in the sight of God. One must learn what it is to disobey God. One must learn what it is to sin against God and the consequences of sinning against God. We mentioned David. Well, at that time, David took Bathsheba and defiled her, and then sought all manner of means to cover over his crime, his sin. Oh, he would try to bring Uriah back, but he would appear to be the father. And on failing this twice, then he would put him out into the battle where men were most likely to be slain. When Joab sent report back to David that Uriah had been slain, I'm sure there was almost a relief in the heart of David that he got away with it. But the thing which David did displeased the Lord. He causeth it to come. The Lord sent his word through his prophet Gad. We know the parable of the ewe lamb. What's so remarkable there is how David, as king, was so raised up in anger against that rich man for stealing the poor man's one and only ewe lamb. And David pronounced judgment upon him that that rich man would suffer, until Gad turned around and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And David fell under the word of God. He causeth it to come. Now the Lord will send his word into the hearts of his people. He causeth it to come. I don't want to digress too much, but in the context here throughout this chapter, we really read of the weather. And I'm sure it is where you are, the wind is yet blowing. He causeth it to come. Overnight, we had a shower of rain here. He causeth it to come. During the past week, we have those beautiful days of sunshine. He causeth it to come. And you see the weather, it's all in God's hands. Whatever it is, in the heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, he causeth it to come. And I only read yesterday from Edward Carr, who was pastor at Bath years ago, concerning the rain and how it might be compared to the word of God. It comes down from heaven. It comes down unadulterated. It comes down pure. And especially when we think of the fine rain and the showers, it penetrates into the ground. And as it penetrates, so it gives life and causes that growth and to bring forth seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Or the power of the rain. Many more things also might be compared to the word of God. Now, where the Lord sends forth his word, he causeth it to come. Or he doesn't cause it to fall, as it were, upon deaf ears. That is the unbeliever. That is a mere professor of the truth. He causeth it to come to have an effect. And it will have an effect. And oh, may it be our mercy for the word of God to come and to have that effect in our hearts and in our lives. Now, what effect did it have upon David? It had a great effect. It taught him that he had sinned. It convicted him of his sin. Oh, how David once had been in almost denial. David had almost made light of that which had happened, but now all of that was taken away from him, and he trembled before Almighty God, against whom he has sinned. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He causeth it to come. And how the word of God entered into the heart of David, he couldn't keep that out. He couldn't refuse that. Or when that word came in divine power, unction, authority, or it came as that sharp two-edged sword, it came as that arrow of conviction, it entered right in and it had a tremendous effect. It brought David down. It brought him right down. Oh, there he was, high and mighty. There he was, thinking he could get away with these things. But it was the word of God which entered in and brought David right down. Oh, to the mercy of God. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for mercy. And David will prove all. And the child of God also will prove all. Where that word comes as that arrow of conviction. Thou art the man. Thou art the sinner. Thou art the great sinner. I remember hearing the late Mr. Brian Perks telling me when the Lord first met with him, and he was in London, he was travelling on a bus somewhere. And he said that word came with such power into his heart. Thou art the man, thou art the sinner. And immediately he knew himself to be a great sinner. Now again, God is sovereign. How he works in the hearts of his people. Some like that are cut down very suddenly. Others more gradually. And we just think of Lydia, the seller of purple. But we read of her whose heart the Lord opened, and something so important there, whose heart the Lord opened. She couldn't open her own heart, and no man can open their own hearts to the Lord. There are many in religion and Christianity who think they have it in their power to give their hearts to the Lord, but this is impossible. Man by nature is spiritually dead, and the dead cannot do anything. They cannot move. No person spiritually dead can do anything but this vital truth, and oh, may we know it personally, spiritually, whose heart the Lord opened. He causeth it to come, and the effect, oh, let us never lose sight of the effect. He causeth it to come, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended those things spoken of by Paul. And although we read there that they met together by the riverside where prayer was wont or desired to be made, I do also believe that there the Apostle Paul preached a gospel. He preached a word of God. And it was a word of God which entered into the heart of Lydia, which had such a profound effect upon her. Now, I just want to speak to those who, well, we humbly trust whose hearts the Lord has opened. And it may be more gradual. It may be that you do not feel that conviction of sin as you feel that you should feel it. It may be that you have not been led into such depths as others have been led. It may be that you have not, it's called an experience, as others have had such an experience. And or there may be many doubts and fears as to the reality of religion, the reality of that work of grace. But I believe where the word of God comes into the hearts of his people, it will also have such an effect in their lives. He causeth it to come, whether for correction. And where this correction will come, I believe conviction of sin will come in measure. And where there is that conviction of sin, there will be that confession of sin. And where there is that confession of sin, there is that acknowledgement of sin. And where there is that acknowledgement of sin, there is that godly sorrow. Where it is of God, or there will not be that sorrow of the worldling, of the mere professor, no crocodile tears, but there will be that broken heart and that contrite spirit. Now, really, David had done much evil against Uriah in having him killed, against Bathsheba, taking away her lawful husband. David had done much evil in forcing the children of Israel against that city, where many others also died. David had done much evil, but in Psalm 51, his penitential psalm, there we have David praying, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He knew that he had sinned against God, and he turned unto God in prayer. Oh, what a correction there. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land. And now David, as the king, turns to the Lord, but turns to the Lord at the throne of grace with a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Oh, how David turns to the Lord. Now he needs mercy. Oh, how he needs mercy. And I believe every child of God truly convicted of their sins, to whatever depth or degree, there will be that need of God's mercy. Now, is it so with us this morning? Have we been taught by the Holy Spirit? Have we been truly convicted of our sins and brought to that great need of God's mercy? No child of God, I make this point, no child of God under the sacred influence and teaching of the Holy Ghost will ever dare presume upon God's mercy. That God is merciful is a wonderful truth. Throughout the scriptures, we read of the mercy of God. But no child of God, or especially under conviction of sin, feeling much of the plague of their own hearts, that heart deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, would never, ever, ever presume upon the mercy of God. But one thing they will do, they will pray for it. He causeth it to come, and the effect of it, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. And so the publican, being under the influence and power of God, the Holy Ghost, was drawn to the throne of God's grace. And there, although he dare not come near, but in his heart he would draw nigh unto God, because he must gain the ear of God. He would not be found as that Pharisee, that proud, pretentious Pharisee. He could tell God what a good person he was and for all good for good that he had done, because he knew nothing of conviction of sin. He knew nothing of the plague of his own heart. But to that publican, broken, contrite, full of godly sorrow, repentance. Oh, how he comes with that prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I just noticed in verse 19, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. And many a child of God feels to be there at times in such darkness, feeling to be such a great sinner. Oh, teach us what we shall say unto him against whom we have sinned and done this evil and this wickedness. And how the Holy Spirit will teach that soul to pray. Likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But he that searcheth the heart, who knoweth the mind of the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, it's not prayer from the lips, is it? It is not prayer from the head. Oh, it is not in vain repetitions of things which we have learnt, but it's prayer from the heart. He causeth it to come, that true spirit of prayer. And when that publican prayed that prayer, he really meant it. It wasn't just words, was it? He was a needy soul, and the one thing he needed was the mercy of God, because he knew himself to be a sinner. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Oh, how he must obtain the mercy of God. Now, is it our prayer? Oh, is it our cry? Is it our petition? Is it our great need this day? Or have we been found at the throne of Christ in the closet where no other eye could see, no other ear could hear, crying out from the depths of our hearts, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, where there is that real spirit of prayer, there is faith. Every praying soul is blessed with faith. Faith to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Faith to come to the feet of Jesus. Faith to come unto the Lord at such a time. Faith to pray, because where there is faith, there will be prayer. Where there's prayer, there is faith. We may not feel that we have faith, but that cry from the heart evidences that we have faith. The Lord doesn't give a spirit of prayer, or he doesn't give that spirit of faith. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the great revenues of the wicked. But all to really pray that prayer, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, there is also that same grace of hope. Hoping in the mercy of God. Again, not presuming. No child of God would ever dare presume upon the mercy of God, but all to pray for it. And this is the way the Lord works in the hearts of his people. He causeth it to come, and the child of God cannot see it yet, but that work of grace has been begun. That soul has been quickened, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, but now quickened, born again, regenerated, called by his grace, made willing in the day of his power, made willing to confess our sins unto him, made willing to cry unto him, or made willing to pour out our hearts unto him. Oh, made willing to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Oh, is that our great need this morning, to obtain mercy? Well, if the Lord has called us by his grace, if the Lord has taught us to pray, then surely we shall be crying out for his mercy. And the Lord will never have one soul cry out for his mercy and then deny them. It is so wonderful in the Gospels, through the life and ministry and teaching of the Lord Jesus, there wasn't one soul who rightly came to him whom he turned away. As we read in John, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. poor sinners coming to Christ at the footstool of God's mercy will never be turned away. No one turned away, no one seeking the mercy of God will be denied the mercy of God. Although we may feel our sins to abound, though we may feel our sins to be so great and so many, and yet God's mercy endureth forever. But we'd also notice this, that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And David would repent of his sins. Oh, how he would truly repent. He causeth it to come. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. He causeth it to come. Now, just a thought. How the Lord begins that work of grace, again, is found in his sovereignty. How the Lord may call one and call another could be in very, very different ways. With some, the Lord may appear to work in their hearts very severely. Great things may happen to awaken them, like the Philippian jailer, and how the earthquake was used to bring him to himself and to that great need. And remember how he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, before he was unconcerned, he was indifferent. But now that great concern, "What must I do to be saved?" And I just want to mention this thought also. Throughout the whole world and a nation, there are many in great concern over their health, great concern over these afflictions, this virus, great concern over catching it, spreading it, great concern of loved ones also, great concern lest they should die, we should die, great concern for our nation, our employments, our families, our lives, our welfare, great concern. But how many are in great concern over their never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity? Now, may the Lord cause it to come to awaken many. Or may the Lord cause it to come for the falling out rather of the fervence of the gospel. May the Lord cause it to come as that channel of mercy, or that souls might be brought into need, that souls might be corrected and turned to the Lord. Now, as we were speaking in our opening hymn, this land of ours has been greatly favoured in time past. You read back in the old accounts of those who lived really from the 1600s, through to the last century, and how the Lord had greatly favoured this land with the gospel. And the Lord had called many by his grace. And there was that building up. And the Church of God was greatly strengthened. And I believe where the Church of God in any land is greatly strengthened, it will have such a great effect also upon the land. It was so in the times of the children of Israel. You read of those godly kings and leaders. In their days, there was prosperity, not only natural, but spiritual. Then that honour me, I will honour. But then in days when the leaders were ungodly and when all manner of wickedness was permitted in the land, then the Lord hid his face and there was trouble and there was pestilence and there was sorrow. And the enemies came into the land and there was devastation and destruction. But when the Lord would raise up one like Gideon, he causeth it to come. One like Nehemiah, or he causeth it to come. Or when through their influence and through the power of God, the people turned again unto the Lord, or saw that need of correction, it will be for his land, for the good of the land, or for mercy. He causeth it to come. I've often thought that when a godly soul dies, of course, it is well with that soul. They're taken to glory, taken to heaven, taken to be with Christ, which is far better. But from that very moment, as we read of David, the prayers of David, son of Jesse, were ended. That soul no longer prays. Now it may be, and we hope and trust it will be, that prayers that they offered here upon this earth will be answered. But that soul no longer prays. And that's a great loss to the Church of God and to any family where a praying member dies, a praying parent or grandparent, a loved one. But then also, when, as we read of Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, or when the Lord begins that work of grace, where a soul is wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, well, what a tremendous thing that is. Or to be found amongst the praying people of God, he causeth it to come. From that moment, the Spirit enters in. From that moment, the soul is born again. From that moment, that soul is quickened. From that moment, that they begin to pray, the Lord will maintain that work of grace. And being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will maintain it, complete it, unto the day of Jesus Christ. He causeth it to come. Oh, it is a tremendous thing when that soul first begins to pray, when that soul first begins to turn to the Lord. He causeth it to come. The gospel. The gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He causeth it to come. I think we mentioned in prayer concerning that time, and again, the children of Israel had sinned against God. The Lord displeased and raised his rod, and the Lord permitted those fiery serpents to come just where the children of Israel were. And he sent it for correction for his land, the inhabitants, his people, or for mercy. But he caused it to come. Now, many died. Many suffered. And, well, really, those fiery serpents were worse than this virus, because if one was bitten, then that was it. They would die. There was no cure. There was no hope. But they repented. They were corrected. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? They turned to the Lord. They had nowhere else to turn. They could have turned, as it were, to self-despair, but they turned to the Lord and confessed their sins and acknowledged their iniquities. And the Lord caused Moses to make that brazen serpent and to raise it high upon that pole that all might see, all with that promise, and it was a promise, that whosoever would bethink themselves to look by faith upon that brazen serpent, they would live. So he causeth it to come. The brazen serpent is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save his people from their sins. He causeth it to come. And then the proclamation of the gospel, Christ and him crucified. Christ lifted up from the earth, between earth and heaven, there hanging upon the cross. That's the way I choose to save. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. He causeth it to come, the gospel. Oh, the glorious gospel of the grace of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, may the Holy Spirit so direct our hearts, our souls, to look to him, to believe in him, to come to him, to trust in him. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Now, just briefly, he causeth it to come. It may be something else in our lives, something else affecting us, something else troubling us. It may be affliction of a different type. It may be a disappointment. It may be a sorrow. It may be a hard thing. It may be a great mountain. It may be an impossibility. He causeth it to come. It may be trouble. Man is born unto trouble. The sparks fly upward. It may be tribulation. Or it may be a great matter. It may be a great problem. But he causeth it to come. And you see, there is a reason. Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason, yet we shall hereafter know each in his due season. He causeth it to come. Oh, may we not be found like Pharaoh in the times of Moses, when the Lord sent those plagues and Pharaoh and the Egyptians hardened their hearts. Harden their hearts against God. We will not have this man to rule over us. Oh, but may we be found like the dear people of God, made willing in the day of his power to fall into his hands. Oh, that is what David did when he was in a great strait. He causeth it to come. He by faith, as the grace of God was given to him, fell into the hands of God. He causeth it to come, and whatever it is, he may cause it to endure for a time, but may it be for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. And I just finish with this point. He who causeth it to come is also able to cause it to go, to cause it to cease, to cause it to turn away. As it was there with David at the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, Jerusalem, and that angel with the sword outstretched to smite Jerusalem. And there David offered up sacrifice unto God by faith in Christ, looking to the Redeemer, the Saviour. And there the plague was stayed. He causeth it to come. Oh, we would be thankful for those in the medical profession. We would be thankful for what the Lord has enabled various people to do. But may we not look to the means, but look to God. God on high, God upon his throne, God who is in control. He causeth it to come. Well, much more could have been spoken from such a word as this. May it be a word in season to one or another. But let us ever remember and take great comfort that God is in control. God is upon the throne. That he alone causeth it to come, as it was with Job. And it endured for a time. It greatly affected him. But then we read in the last chapter of this book of Job, how the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And also the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Well, may we be given grace to cast all our care upon him and prove he careth for us and commit all unto God and to wait only upon him. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Amen. I'm asked to give the notices for the coming week, for the friends at Swayze, that if the Lord will, using the same means as we do today, Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, the usual times are 10:30 in the morning and 6:30 this evening. And also, if the Lord will, we hope also this evening to gather for worship at 6:30. Our closing hymn this morning, and perhaps it has been sung many times lately, is hymn number 64. Hymn 64. Hymn number 64, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. His decree who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth, parents, native place, and time, all appointed were by him. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Times of sickness, times of health, times of penury and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief, times the tempter's power to prove, times to taste the Saviour's love, all must come, and last and end, as shall please my heavenly friend. Plagues and deaths around me fly, till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it. Let us pray. O Lord, we would be truly thankful for thy word. Grant us much grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, to cast all our care upon thee, with all these things which have come upon us, to see thy hand in it all. Lord, rule and overrule, and may there yet be a falling out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, bless each one listening now. Be with us throughout this day, and help us as we might gather together again for worship this evening. And may the grace of the Saviour, and the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each.